Happiness is an eternal, inside, eternal state of affairs. And only the child of God can understand what I just said there, because a sinner doesn't understand that. They don't know the Lord. They don't know happiness is the Lord. All they got is this world. And the Bible says, in this life we have hope only, we are all men most miserable. And that's a fact. And we didn't have a lot of happiness, when I grew up, and my sister's got a different tale than I got, but they forget that things changed after they left the home. And my mom became mentally ill and oppressed by the devil. And it was not the happiest place on earth at our house. Matter of fact, it was hell on earth. And they remember the happy times when everything was normal. But let me tell you, when the home goes off the rail, it is not a happy place. And though God intended for the home to be the happiest place on earth, and therefore the church to be an extension of the home, that the church would be the happiest place on earth. And see, it's knowing Christ is the source of happiness. There's no doubt about that. So if you found Acts chapter 25, say amen. We'll know you're there. Notice what it says. They're having Festus and Agrippa are having a discussion about the Apostle Paul. So let's pick it up in verse number 22. And then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. I mean, Agrippa's been waiting to hear from the Apostle Paul. He's heard of him. Paul's fame's gone out through all the known world. And finally, Paul is in a position, or Agrippa's in a position, where he will hear from the Apostle Paul himself. It says, on the morrow when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, ye see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to ascend him. Of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord, wherefore I brought him forth before you, especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. Now, what does that tell you? Life has always been crazy. Paul's done nothing wrong. There's nothing that he's done worthy of death or even of bonds. But yet they're holding him in prison. Now, there's crazy things that happen in our nation this day. People locked up for years and years and years and years and years. And they can't get out. But here you got the axe murderer. He's walking free. It has always been like that. And it'll always be like that, because chaos reigns where Christ does not. Chapter 26, verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Now remember, Paul's already been in prison a couple years. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, and this is what he said. And this is where we take our text. I think myself happy. That's an amazing statement. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things where I am accused of the Jews. And I'm going to preach on this thought. Happiness is the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless the word tonight. And Paul could say, I think myself happy, because his joy was springing up within. He had tasted of the fountain of living waters. The same water that the woman at the well received the day she was saved. The same water that's bubbling up in the Apostle Paul in the worst of circumstances. And God, he was happy to speak to King Agrippa. God, it brought joy to his soul to be able to testify and to tell this king how he could be saved. And God, help us all to have that same joy that bubbles up within us no matter what is happening around us, because happiness is the Lord. And Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. They say, and I believe it, that happiness is the Lord. Now, the world doesn't understand happiness. You know what the world says happiness is? They did a study in a survey, and they said the happiest people in the world, they say, are the people of Panama. And they say that they rank 50 in the world economically, yet they rank first in happiness. They don't have running water. Sometimes they don't have electricity. Sometimes they don't have anything. But these people live very simple lives. Without cars, without luxuries, without microwaves, and many of them without cell phones. And they say, if they rank them, they're one of the happiest people in the world. Now, yet I say this, they may be first and happiest as far as the world concerned. I beg to differ. Because what is the scale that they're going by? Right? They didn't ask me. Right? I mean, if you ask a bunch of godless, miserable people, of course they're not going to be happy. I beg to differ. Happiness is not a geographic thing. I'll tell you that right now. It's not. Look at all people in America that are the greatest nation in the world, and they're not happy. Because geography doesn't determine whether or not you're happy or not. It never has, and it never will. Apostle Paul's in prison, and yet he says, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. Man, I'm thrilled to be here today. I mean, that's amazing in itself. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. But rather, it's a state of mind, a state of being, a condition of the heart. I say the happiest people in the world are God's people. I do. I say that. And in Trinidad, we would sing some happy songs. We would sing, we are happy people, praise the Lord. And I have the Bible, the Word of God. Satan had a hold on me, but Jesus came and set me free. By the blood of Calvary, oh praise the Lord. We sing it 100 times. And we would bust out in laughter, laughing, because we are happy people. And then we'd sing, happy, 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 happy in the Lord. Praise God, I'm born again, washed in Jesus' blood. I want you to know God's promise is true. That's why I am happy, happy in the Lord. And they'd sing it 100 times. Now we're talking about people with nothing. They walked a half mile in the rain. They're going to walk a half mile home in the rain. They got nothing. When they get there, they'll be in a shack with no electricity. This was years ago, not now, but years ago. We'd get in the car, and we'd have 15 people in a six-seater car. And I'd be singing, we are happy people. And one old sinner would say, yeah, happy people. And the more she got mad, the happier I got. And man, we'd be shouting. The windows are down. I mean, we're sweating on each other and we're shouting, we are happy people. Sinners will never understand the Lord. Aren't you glad you're happy? I think myself happy. Let's pray and we'll bring the message. Father, God, I'm happy tonight because of your amazing grace. God, I'm happy because I have a home in heaven. I'm happy because I have peace down in the recess of my soul. And God, you took away the sin and the strife and the confusion and the burden, and you replaced it with a peace of God that passed all understanding. I know the lost world will never understand what we have here tonight, but God, the child of God can relish in it. And God, we are thankful for it. Bless the word as we concur. As Paul said, I think myself happy. God, I can say tonight, I think myself happy, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, the great thing about being a child of God is you don't have to despair when things are going wrong. I laughed when the transmission went out. I said, well, glory to God. That's another $4,600. Glory to God. You know what the funny thing was? Sarah's transmission went out. Christopher and Lissa's transmission went out. Our transmission went out. Then the transmission went out in her truck. I said, why are you laughing about that? You going to cry or are you going to laugh? Hey, I think myself happy. Hey, if my vehicle's running or not, that doesn't determine my happiness. Thank God, I am not affected by these external things. We can glory to God in everything. Amen. And thank God we can. I remember one time I was on deputation, and they gave me a God bless you offering up here in out on 40 out there, but towards the Virginia border. And the preacher came in. He said, we're going to do a God bless you offering this morning. And they did. And they came around and gave me a God bless you offering. I'm glad they did. I only had $10. And I walked out of there with close to $500. And his daughter came in, and she was in tears. She had gotten a $100-some ticket. She was in tears. Well, you know, at the end of the day, it was a big joke. She walked around with that ticket in her hand. She said, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And it was funny. We were all laughing. It was. Can I tell you? Our happiness is not, man, we had a great service that day rejoicing in the Lord. And Paul, though he's in prison, he's rejoicing. And he's filled with the joy of God. He said, I think myself happy. Now why? Why could you be happy being in prison? Why could you be happy with the prospects of going and being sent to Rome to stand before Augustus? But we know by the time Paul got to Rome, he stood before Nero, and Nero was a crazed madman and cut off his head. But if you read the last words of the Apostle Paul, he was still happy. He said, the time of my departure is at hand, and I am now ready to be offered. It was with joy that he went to the chopping block. Why should we be happy? He was happy because of his position. You say, what is that to be a part of the family of God? Don't we sing that song? I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. Washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. You know, 43 years ago when I used to sit in the back of the church, and I did sit in the back of the church, where Tim's sitting, I sat in the back of the church. But you know, I was just glad to be there. I was just glad to be there. Man, if you could have seen me when I came in to Blue Ash Baptist Church, you'd have thought, who in the world is this guy, right? And why? And what is he doing here? If that had been now, everybody had been reaching for their gun. You know, concealed and carry, who's this guy? What's he going to do, right? I didn't fit in. I didn't look like a child of God. I had just become a child of God. It took me a little while to figure it out. But I can't tell you how happy I was to be there. When they'd have a fellowship, I'd be the last one to go down the stairs. Because I said, man, there are Christian people down there, and I don't even know how to be a Christian. Right? They're all sitting together with families. I don't have no family there. I'm by myself. And man, Curtis Payne, bless God, he waited around so he could go down with me. And he said, Brother Chris, I know you don't have no one to sit with. Sit with me. And man, I sat with him and his wife, and you could have seen they were real Christian people. They were raised in church. They look like Christians. They act like Christians. They talk like Christians. Amen. And I needed to be around them. Hallelujah. It was a good thing. And it just felt so good to be there. Can I tell you what? When we get to heaven, it's going to be good to be there. Glory to God. Thank God. And the Bible makes that clear. You say, is that in the Bible? Yes, it is. Look in Romans chapter number 8. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Romans. Amen. Romans 8 and verse number 14. The hope that he gave to the believers in Rome. He said this. In verse 14, he says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And ye have not received the spirit of bondage again, the fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. I'm adopted into the family of God, and so are you. The Spirit itself bears witness our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Thank God that we're part of the family of God. Thank God that we're not just heirs, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And there's no way that we can begin to comprehend that. Look in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. It says, and you hath he quickened, that means made alive, who were dead in trespass and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What were you for you got saved? You were by nature a child of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he hath loved us, even we were dead and sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. You say, Brother Chris, what does that mean? He gave us a seat at the table. Have you ever gone somewhere and there wasn't a seat? You ever gone somewhere and sat down and they told you to get up? I went to a preacher's fellowship one time, and I'm looking at this situation. I came in late because we had a display set up, and it was a big church in Louisville, and they had this table full of preachers, and man, they were squashed into the tables. There wasn't another seat left. And then they had this other row of tables where there was nobody was sitting, but a couple preachers were sitting there. And I went over there and sat down. They said, Brother, you can't sit here. This is reserved. There's 50 chairs. There's 6 preachers. Who's it reserved for? Well, this is reserved for the special speakers. We can't get our hands dirty with a common preacher. I'm glad when we get to heaven. I hope when we get to heaven, God puts them at a different table. I do. I hope he puts them at a different table. And I said, oh, okay. So I stood up and waited for a preacher to get done eating so I could sit down. I sat down next to the guy and said, Brother Chris, don't worry about it. They think they're better than everybody. He said, that man over there, I'm his pastor and I can't sit over there. Aren't you glad Jesus in that way? He's going to welcome us into heaven and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in the joy of the Lord, and I'm going to have a seat at the table. And it says that he's going to gird himself and serve us. Man, thank God for a seat at the table. You ever read that story about David and Mephibosheth? And how David brought him to sit at the king's table? Mephibosheth just couldn't believe that the enemy, Saul's sons and families, the enemy of the kingdom of David, and they didn't understand that David loved them with an everlasting love. They didn't understand that David loved Jonathan as his own soul. And when David welcomed his son Mephibosheth to the table, he meant it. You say, how could God love me? Man, thank God he does. He loves us as his own. And David loved Mephibosheth like he loved his own children. And he gave him a place at the king's table. You say, what is that? That's access. It's acceptance. It's the acquisition. Everything that God has belongs to me. Everything that God has belongs to me. And everything that God has belongs to you. That's why he said in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Thank God we can come right in and sit at the table. And no one's going to shame you, embarrass you, and tell you ain't good enough to sit at the table. I love the brethren. I will admit, that was an embarrassing day of my life. But I got over it. I said, hallelujah, one day, hallelujah. God has a sense of humor. There's a dear brother in Milford. I wanted to present the ministry, they gave me the third degree, 50 questions, 100 questions, checking my pedigree, checking everything, and I just wasn't good enough to be a part of what they were doing. But one day God made me pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church. And that dear brother called to get a meeting. And he said his name, and I said, I know who you are. He said, how do you know me? He says, you probably don't remember interviewing me. You probably don't remember all those things you said to me. But I ain't forgot them. And there is no way you will ever present anything at Fellowship Baptist Church. I wasn't good enough to present at your church. So why would you want to come into my lowly presence now? You can send somebody else, and I will let them come, but not you. And we do support their ministry. Now, that might have been a little bit of humbling pie for him, but he needed to eat it. And I said, never treat people so ill. And it doesn't matter if they're a sinner or a saint, we ought to be treating everybody with the love of Jesus Christ. Because nobody is better than anyone else, and God has a sense of humor. I shouldn't be so evil. I shouldn't be so evil. But can I tell you, Paul thought himself happy. Happiness is the Lord because of his position as a child of God. Why should we be happy? Because of the promises. Thank God we stand on the promises. That little chorus, every promise in the Bible is mine. Every book, every page, every line. I am trusting in his grace divine. Every promise in the Bible is mine. You say, Brother Chris, I don't believe you can claim the promises. Don't. I will. I put my finger on the Bible when I claim God's promises, and God does amazing things. Listen, the child of God has the greatest promise that ever could have been given. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You see, our hope lies beyond the temporal. Our hope lies beyond humanity. Our hope lies beyond our earthly focus. Notice what he said. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You say, what was Paul looking for? Hey, he knows he's going to die, and he's going to live in his eternal home with Jesus Christ. Remember, he already got a look at it when he was stoned at Lystra in Acts chapter number 14. He was caught up in the third heaven, saw things not lawful for a man to utter. And he says, I tell you, for we know that if our earthly house is tabernacle dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnest desire to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we are that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought the selfsame thing is of God, who also given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, willing rather be absent from the body and present with the Lord. You know, I love to go see dying people with a smile on their face. And I've been in the presence of many dying people smiling as they went to meet Jesus. Because their hope is laid up in eternal things. How can you be happy when you got cancer? Because you're going to meet Jesus. How can you be happy when everything is going wrong? Because you're going to meet Jesus. Man, there is a joy about the promises of God. Why do you think Paul could write 2 Corinthians chapter 4? We did a series on it. He said, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that actually the power may be of God, not of us. What's the treasure? It's the Holy Ghost in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body, the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal body. Paul said, none of this matters. Man, I'm happy. Why do you think they could sing in the Philippian jail? Now, I got to admit, I'm maybe not as spiritual as the Apostle Paul. If all the meat was beat off my back and I'm laying on a cold, wet floor and the roaches and the rats are crawling all around me, that might be the time to cry. But you know what? They rose up and sang praises to God at midnight. Because of the joy of the Holy Ghost. And we know what happened. God shook the foundation and set them all free. God was so pleased that they were happy. I read a thing one time about a Christian that was being interrogated by a Muslim caliph. And that Christian went on and on. And every time that Muslim said he was going to do something to him, he said, well, guess what? I'm going to be happy. I'm going to shout. I'm going to be glad. And we got done. The caliph said, He looked at his men that were with him there, and he said, I can tell you what, you can't do one thing with fanatics. You can't threaten a fanatic. He said, I'm going to kill you. Good, I'm going to heaven. He came back with those kind of answers. And he said, fanatics, you just can't do nothing with them. Why do you think they exiled John? They couldn't do nothing with him. We just got to get rid of him. We just got to get rid of him. Hey, you can be happy because of your position. You can be happy because of the promises. Thank God we can be happy because of the prize. What did the Apostle Paul say? And everything I'm reading tonight, the Apostle Paul wrote because he was happy. Philippians 3:13, he said, "Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things behind, reaching forth those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." How many, don't you like to get a prize? Man, we love prizes. I don't love surprises, but I love prizes. I tell my wife, "Don't you ever have me a surprise birthday party." Right? Don't do that. I like prizes, but not surprises. And I said, "Hey, but you know what? There's going to be a prize one day. All that God has promised, there is going to be a prize." You know, there's a little truth in every fable. You know, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, sweet by and by, pie in the sky, all of that is true. And it's greater than the world could possibly fathom or imagine. You say, what's the prize? What did Paul, I'll read 2 Corinthians or 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul said this, and notice the wording of what he said there in verse. He said, "For I'm now ready to be offered, time my parched hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all those who loving appearing." He says, "Listen, I got something waiting for me." He said, "What's the first thing you got?" "I got a mansion." "You got a funny Bible and it says a room. I hope God gives you a room, but I'm getting a mansion." Right? I've said that many times. "You want a room, you can live in my closet, but I'm going to live in a mansion." Hallelujah. One dear brother, and he's a good brother, but he went crazy on this thing because he's trying to do the math. And he said, "Well, in heaven, we're all going to be 6 inches tall." And he actually went around the country preaching, "We're all going to be 6 inches tall." You know what? If he wants to be 6 inches tall, let him. But I want to believe that we're going to look and have a body like and under Jesus' glorious body that 1 6 inches tall. Man, people go crazy, don't they, trying to figure out God? Hey, you get inside there, there ain't no telling how big that's going to be on the inside there, because God can do anything. They say all the people in the world can fit into America. Probably the state of Texas. Now, it'd be a little cramped. But if all the world can fit in the state of Texas, come on, you kidding me? How could 8 billion people fit in the state of Texas? He said, "We all get 1 foot." But what's the point I'm trying to make? The point I'm trying to make here, hey, we have something waiting for us. "I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him." What God has prepared is so great. The prize is the mansion. The prize is the crown. The crown of life for those who become martyrs for Jesus Christ. The crown of glory for those who preach the gospel. The crown of rejoicing for those who win souls. The crown of incorruption for those who live right, who live righteously. And then the crown of righteousness for those who are looking for the Lord Jesus. One day the scepter. The Bible says that we shall rule and reign for him, reign with him for 1,000 years. Revelation 20 and verse 6. We are going to rule and reign with him during the millennial kingdom. Let alone to think what eternity is going to be like. Remember, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to be a new universe that God's going to do something with. And then the praise of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, "Judge nothing for it before the time." And then it says, "And at the end, then shall every man have praise of God." You know, your praise and my praise doesn't mean much, but when God praises you, that means something. You say, "What? That's the prize. That's the prize." Can I tell you, just living for Jesus Christ on the earth has been so great, let alone all those things that are coming. The happiest people in the world should be God's people. And then lastly is this, the presence of the Holy Ghost. Joy unspeakable that's full of glory. And then it says, oh, the half has never yet been told. Joy in the Holy Ghost. That scares people. When you start talking about joy, God getting happy in the Lord. You know? Hey, I've been happy in the Lord. And joy of the Holy Ghost. We were at a funeral one time. This dear brother died. And I, honest to God, we had the best time I've ever had in my life at his funeral. And man, his son and grandson, I mean, you'd have had to know this guy. Everywhere, if you took him anywhere, he would stop people coming in and out of Shoney's. He would stop them, and he'd say, he'd get a hold of their hand, and he wouldn't let them go. He was 90 years old. You're not going to throw the man down. And so he gets a hold of you and says, are you happy in the Lord? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? And man, he's holding on to them, and he ain't letting go till they give the right answer. And man, you're standing there, and people are looking at you, and you're thinking, well, what are you going to do? And he gets out a gospel track, and man, and it was like, you, if anyone made the mistake of being in front of him, you ain't getting out of the restaurant anytime soon. And man, when he died, we had the best time I've ever had in my life at his funeral. Because he had the joy of the Holy Ghost on him. And we laughed and we had a great time. Lost sinners looking at us like we were, they didn't even know what to think of us because we were having such a good time. You say, why are we having a good time? Because he went home to be with the Lord. And man, it was the best time ever for the child of God. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 7. He said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with the fire, might be found of the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye yet see not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Lost world can't comprehend our joy. They can't understand the happiness that we feel. And the peace of God that passes all understanding that the Bible speaks of and describes, they can't begin to understand that. Romans 14 and verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You want to freak people out? Start talking about joy in the Holy Ghost. And they'll be freaked out. I tell people, why are you so unhappy and so miserable? Where is your joy? Where is your, I mean, hallelujah. We ought to be joyous it ought to be that the saved have a continual feast. And that's something we ought to be conveying to a lost and dying world. Hey, if what we got isn't producing joy and happiness and peace, why would people want what we got? Romans 15:13 says this, now the hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. People say, you believe in the Holy Ghost? You better believe I believe in the Holy Ghost. He lives inside of me, amen, and I feel his presence. He puts a smile on my face and a spring in my step and joy in my heart and a song on my lips. You ever hear a sinner sing? When I was lost, my famous song was, I'm on the highway to hell. I'm on the highway to hell. I mean, what a song. Hey, the lost world don't have a song. All they can sing about is being evil. They can't say, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. They can't even begin to comprehend that. They just tell me at work, why are you so happy? Why are you singing? I said, well, I got the joy of Jesus Christ. Amen. I got Jesus. I'm saved, saved, saved. Make them so mad. I said, what do you got? The lost world will never understand that. When William Booth, the day his wife died, at her funeral, they had a parade filled with singing, with laughter, and with musicians. And they put in the paper, the local paper said, this was the most humiliating, disgraceful display that the world has ever seen. That William Booth could put on such a happy face after his wife died. You know why they couldn't put on a happy face? Because they don't know Jesus Christ. They think death is goodbye. Not for the child of God. Amen. Death is a celebration because they've gone to be with Jesus. You're not weeping for people because they're gone. You're weeping for people because you're going to miss them. You're weeping. You're not weeping for them because they're in hell. No, you're weeping for them because they're in heaven, and not because you're going to miss them. They're rejoicing in heaven. I'm glad when people leave this life and go to be with Jesus, when their labors are in it and their sorrows are over. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt because they'll be missed, but I plan on seeing them again. And man, we're going to embrace at the Eastern Gate. We're going to meet again. And then we're going to live on forever with one another. Paul said, hey, happiness is the Lord. We are happy people. He said, I think myself happy. Something's wrong, you can't smile and be happy. Because no matter what's happening, it's temporary. No matter what you're going through, it means absolutely nothing compared to where we're going. That's why Paul said the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. When God reveals His glory, man, what a thing that's going to be. Let's stand for prayer. Miss Sue's going to come. She's going to sing. Not sing. She's going